Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the PVD Cast. I'm your host, John Orlando, bringing you the only podcast that's live and indirect from Providence, Rhode Island, via the capital city of Columbus, Ohio. I hope each and every one of you is doing really good on this particular day, because I'm doing pretty darn good. I just got back from an event that I've talked about on the last several installments of this very podcast. That is, of course, the Fort Rapids Toy Show here in Columbus. I went out this morning, sat down with the promoter, James Ford, and talked to him for about 25 minutes or so about the toy show and about his history in promoting shows. We did it live right there in the hall, in the venue, as people were shopping. And I think it's going to be a very entertaining edition of the PVD Cast. I think, there's a lot of parallels between promoting a wrestling show and promoting a toy show. And I gotta say, I'm very impressed with James Ford and the people at CTS Promotions. They seem to want to do it the right way. And you know what? I mean, many episodes of this very podcast, you've heard myself and guests sit down and talk about wrestling promoters and how they've screwed over people and screwed over towns and screwed over venues and how they don't do things the right way. And as I was not foolish enough to think that that did not happen in the world of promoting toy shows, it does. And it's good and it's refreshing to see someone that wants to do it the right way, that wants people, you know, bottom line, to have a good time, to feel comfortable coming to a particular show and enjoying themselves and, bottom line, spend some money. So, with that being said, I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and then when I come out of the break, you're going to hear my conversation that I recorded earlier this morning, here on Sunday, June 8th, with James Ford, the man behind CTS Promotions, and the man that was behind this morning's toy show, the Fort Rapids Toy Show. So with that, I'm going to take a break, and I'll be back with that conversation. Big Fun Columbus. What is that, you ask? It's simply the greatest toy store on the face of the planet. And it's right here in Columbus, Ohio. Shimmy on down to 672 North High Street in the Short North. And you can check out all of the various different toys that they have. If you listen to my previous episode of the PVD Cast, where I, John Orlando, did a complete entire episode from the store, you know that they got everything you could imagine. You need wrestling figures? They got them. You need McFarlane toys? They got them. He-Man? You got it. G.I. Joe? You got it. Star Wars? Legos? Whatever you need, whatever you collect, they got it at Big Fun. And guess what? If they don't have something, they got a wish list. You put it on there, they'll try to get it for you. Man, oh man, you got to go visit the guys and the girls down at Big Fun Columbus. Once again, they're at 672 North High Street in the Short North. You can check them out on Twitter at Big Fun Columbus, or simply go to Facebook, facebook.com/Big Fun Columbus. Check it out. Get down there for everything that you need in terms of collecting, or hell, if you just want to go down and relive your childhood like I did, stop on down to Big Fun Columbus and check it out. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I'm John Orlando. As I've been talking about for the last couple of episodes, I am here at the Fort Rapids Toy Show. I'm joined by James Ford, the man behind all of this. James, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you today?
Doing good. I'm surrounded by toys. So, hey, there's the man, too. There's Jason from Big Fun Columbus. How you doing, Jason? It's going well. Can't complain. You want to say anything on the podcast?
Oh, it's a fun show. There's tons of nerds.
Tons of nerds.
Yeah, James cleaned up, and I got tons of fun stuff. So I'm debating about buying a $235 abominable snowman card.
Really?
Yeah. Let me think about that.
Okay.
That's the kind of
get it down to $200. You can get it.
I'm thinking about that too.
There you go.
Good to see you all.
Hey, there's an X-wing pilot right behind you, and a Tusken Raider. All right.
Well, hey. So, the show, obviously, so far, has gotten rave reviews.
Yeah, this is our fourth year for the Fort Rapids show, and of course, we have our Columbus Toy Show coming up September 7th at the new location at the fairgrounds.
Oh, really?
Well, since they're tearing down Veterans Memorial, we had to find a new location for our Columbus Toy Show.
Okay, cool. Where at the fairgrounds? Is it going to be at the Coliseum, or is it going to be one of the other?
It's at the Lausch Building.
Oh, okay, okay.
It's right on 17th Avenue.
Gotcha, gotcha. Well, as I look around, there's a couple of folks that showed up in costume.
Which, oh, yeah.
I've been to a few toy conventions. I don't think that I've seen that too much.
Well,
regular event?
Well, you get Tusken Raiders and X-Wing pilots walking together. It's something you don't see every day.
No, certainly not. So what's some of the highlights that you've seen here in terms of toys? Like some of the rare events, some of the rare things that you may have seen?
A couple of my dealers have sealed Star Wars stuff that's amazing from all over the world. You just don't see that. We got...
And stuff from different eras? Star Wars from the 70s and the 80s and the 90s until its current time?
Yeah, the 70s nostalgia stuff from like the first movie, Episode 4, highly collectible because of the new movies. We're getting actually a different genre of kids starting to collect vintage now. Getting away from the 95 on up stuff, they want to get to the old stuff.
Wow.
Because it's going to be worth more money in the long run.
Yeah, great. Yeah, one thing I'll tell you right now, just because I haven't had a chance to circle around, just got here. Notice that the G.I. Joe Sky Striker up there.
Oh, yeah.
$200. I have that in my garage, man.
Well, if you have it in a box and it's sealed, we're talking about $1,500.
No, man. I played with my toys.
Oh, yeah. I get those stories all the time when I'm about to buy a toy collection. Like, I blew that up with a BB gun or.
Well, now, I did share on an episode when I went down to Big Fun Columbus.
Yeah.
I was a kid that took care of his toys.
Oh.
Because my parents, I was not an incredibly wealthy child.
Mm-hmm.
My parents were hardworking folk, and basically they say, hey, look, we catch you purposely breaking stuff,
mm-hmm.
you're not getting any more, man. So, there were some friends that were not allowed to come over to the house because they would go, hey, can we strap a fire, can we put a firecracker to shipwreck and blow him up? No!
Yeah.
Because then I won't get any more, So, I was a very conscientious kid.
There you go.
So, did you play with all your toys that you had?
Well, I did. I grew up in, of course, the 70s and early 80s, so what I collected as a kid was Star Wars and G.I. Joe.
Okay.
I had a poorer family, so we couldn't afford Transformers. So, and that's what I always wanted, but I always got stuck with G.I. Joe, which I loved, digging trenches into my backyard and making molts and having my guys die.
Did you get GoBots? Because I ragged on them
probably.
But yeah. I actually will share with you at the end of this podcast, I found something more revolting than GoBots. No. I have it in my case here. But more on that later.
Okay.
The big reveal.
It's a big reveal.
It. It's too early. It's only 5 minutes into the podcast.
Probably some knockoff.
GoBots were cheap. And likewise, I liked Transformers too, and I always got those because they were cheaper.
Yeah.
But I was also a big G.I. Joe, Star Wars, mm-hmm. and Masters of the Universe.
Yeah.
There's something cool about He-Man.
Yeah, even when I was in middle school when Mask came out, it was like the combination of Transformers, but you had that, the human aspect. So
yeah.
I had some of the Mask stuff.
I had some of that stuff, too.
I never was in, Masters of the Universe.
Really?
Nah.
Okay. You just, space barbarians just weren't your thing?
No. I didn't. I wasn't into it. So.
Well, they were kind of a little, a little sketchy there.
Yeah.
A lot of shirtless guys running around, if you know what I'm saying. Just saying.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
No, there's nothing wrong
with
that.
That's like a Seinfeld episode.
Right, exactly. Actually, my girlfriend, I showed her I got the Christmas episode as a gag gift.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody found it at Big Lots. It's the He-Man She-Ra Christmas special. We watched it, and she continued, and she goes, yeah, Prince Adam's alive. Watch your mouth, woman.
Oh, yeah.
There's nothing, there's no subtle message here.
Yeah.
This is good family entertainment. It's all right. We'll clean it up there. So again, let's get back to the original.
Sure.
This is how this works on this podcast, by the way.
Okay.
We go all over the place. Other expensive items, rare items, interesting items that you've seen so far that people have brought in from all around.
It's hard to just point out certain things because collectors, they have their own thing that they're into. Like over here, we have... Silver Age and Golden Age comics. So if you're into comic books, great. But, you know, it's just a little bit of everything from 60s on up.
Cool.
So,
excellent.
It's really hard to pinpoint one particular thing because it has to be dear to that one person.
Right. Understandable. So, understandable.
Like this gentleman right here, a Thundercats tank.
Obviously.
He's been looking for that tank.
That's a pretty sweet tank, man.
Yeah.
Thundercats was something I never got into, unfortunately.
I loved the cartoon, never played with the toys.
Yeah, never either.
So,
yeah. I gotcha.
Yeah.
So you got comics, you got a little bit of everything for anybody that's interested. You know, I know as of the airing of this podcast, when I get uploaded, the show will have ended, but you said you have other ones coming up?
Yes, we have our new show coming up in Cincinnati, which we had before, and now we're revisiting it, coming up in November. So check our website, ctspromotions.com, for all the upcoming shows that we have in Springfield. Next Columbus show, we're working on an Indianapolis show, and two secret shows I can't reveal right now.
Oh, ho, 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 ho. Look at you. All right, so I guess I'm just curious. You know, being involved in independent pro wrestling, I've dealt with promoters, I've helped to promote shows.
Right.
I know how stressful it is. I know all the ins and outs of it. So in your experience of doing this, have you ever run into some shady promoters?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh yeah. I don't want to badmouth some
promoter. I understand, but have there been some bait and switch things?
Yeah, there actually has been. I've been to a few shows, and of course, I don't want to mention any names because
or locations. We don't want to give a bad rap.
You know, it's like one show in what's up? It's up north, Youngstown.
Okay,
promised. Oh, we're gonna have 12,000 people. They had 1,000 people through the door.
Yeah.
So you know, it's like, who do you trust in the toy world? And actually, CTS has, we've been doing this since 2003, and we've gained the trust of, like, everybody that comes. My dealers are loyal, and, you know, I care about them. I care about making money. So, and, you know, providing to the crowd.
Right.
You know, a good product, so.
Okay. Okay. You know, what do you think has been the highlight so far? Since you said you've been doing this since 2003, what's, like, the highlight of your career as being a promoter?
Well, you know, actually the last Columbus Toy Show at Veterans Memorial, that was our last show. It was April 6th, I believe. And we had a record crowd around 3,500 people.
Oh, that's excellent.
And it's just taken years to build up to more people. So, and we just got a great following. And it's just, I'm so humbled that people enjoy what I'm doing for them.
Yeah, you know? That's cool. And I, as I walked through the parking lot, I saw license plates from Michigan.
Oh yeah,
Pennsylvania, Ohio. Where's the farthest that somebody's come?
Florida.
Florida.
Yeah. Well, actually, one of our back dealers is from Florida.
Really?
Comes all the way up here for this show.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That is some loyalty, right?
Yeah.
There.
And I got a couple dealers from Tennessee and just around Ohio in general, but we get Michigan, you know.
Sure.
Just all around Ohio, but Florida is my furthest.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, you know, and I think that's the, you know, if it's toys or if it's indie wrestling or if it's comic books or whatever it is, I think that if you treat people right,
you know,
you definitely, you know, are honest and upfront with people, I think that's, you know, will get you the loyalty that you need.
Side
note, I just saw a guy walk by with a Masters of the Universe slime pit. That was the one toy I refused to have as a kid because I was like, that'll ruin those figures. Again, going back to the mantra of my parents going, if you ruin figures or toys, you're not getting any more. I refused to get that one.
Wow.
Anyways, well, that's absolutely excellent. So a couple more quick questions.
Yeah,
I know you're a busy man. I don't want to monopolize your time and whatnot. So what was the very first toy that you got as a kid that you can remember?
As I can remember, I got, it was like, I got a C-3PO 12-inch figure in a box and a Chewbacca in a box. And, that must have been 79.
And I remember this. Was Chewbacca furry or no?
No.
He was molded plastic, wasn't it?
It was 14 inches hard plastic.
Okay.
So, then... Actually, I go through photos of my childhood, and I'm, like, in 1980, I got an AT-AT Walker.
Jealous. I never got that.
Then TIE Fighters, and it's like, man, if I knew what I knew now.
Yeah, I know. My first toy is a weird one that I remember getting as a little kid. It was called the Big Loader Construction Set. It was, like, this plastic track, and it had, like, this It was basically a square on wheels that was motorized.
Really?
And it would go around and it would stop at like different particular parts of the track, and then like a dump truck would fall on top of it, like the shell of a dump truck.
I remember that. I had one in the box not too long ago.
Yeah, it was like the weirdest thing. And the rumor was that my dad played with it all night. He set it up for me, so when I would come into the living room, it was already set up, and it was from Santa. But my mom loves to tell the story that my dearly departed dad played with it all night long, and she kept going, "You shut up! You're gonna wake him up." He just thought it was the coolest thing. So that was the first toy that I really, really remember as a kid. And then came all the the Star Wars stuff and that. But when I was little, and I think it also had a loader and it had a crane too.
Yeah,
and
I remember it was orange.
Yeah,
yeah, and a tan
track.
Yeah,
and it had like little pieces of dirt that were like molded plastic that would fall out. Yeah, that's the first one that I really, really remember.
Yeah, man, it just. Had a lot of good toys growing up.
Do you think the kids today don't have as good of toys?
No, I don't. Because
I agree with you.
Yeah, the quality of the toys now, it's just not there.
Yeah.
You know?
On top of the fact that I think a lot of times, I hate to sound like an old guy, but I don't think kids use their imagination anymore.
No, because even like my son, he's 16, and I try to get him into the collectible world, but he loves that Xbox.
Yeah, exactly. I could never. I mean, I guess maybe because I don't know. I just was wired differently.
Yeah,
I didn't want to sit inside and play.
Well,
video
in the
games.
80s, you had to use your imagination.
You did.
You had to go out and get in the dirt and come up with forts and stuff.
Exactly.
Climb trees.
I used to when I played G.I. Joe, especially in the wintertime. My whole house ended up becoming...
Oh, yeah.
Because basically, whatever the color of the carpet was, that was the environment. So, in our living room, we had this tan carpet, so that was the desert, and that's where the G.I. Joe base would be.
Yeah.
And then my room had blue carpet, so that was the ocean.
Well, see, I had a pool in my backyard.
Oh,
so,
really?
So, I would take my Cobra hydrofoil and put it in the water, and it just sink. And I did the same thing with my whale, and I'm like... It stayed up for a little bit, then it sank. So they weren't made for the water.
No, they were
but
not.
But the moccasin, the Cobra moccasin, did float in water.
Really? I never tried it. Because, again, I was paranoid. My parents had ingrained that, I was afraid.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. On one hand, it was good, but on the other hand, it gave me, a neurosis.
Oh.
So thanks, Mom. Thanks
a
lot.
Really.
No, I'm just kidding.
Thanks for the memories.
That's why I'm in therapy twice a week. No, I'm joking. So that was mine, and I would just go around the house, and that was it. I'd run from one room to the other, to the other, to the other,
right.
And that was how I would spend Saturdays.
Yeah,
And
we had a big backyard, so I had a wooded area, I had the pit.
So
I integrated my Star Wars and G.I. Joe,
it was like a crossover.
It was a crossover.
Really?
So.
Oh, that's pretty awesome.
X-Wings attacking Sky Strikers. And
nice.
I don't know.
Did Cobra team up with G.I. Joe? The enemy of my enemy is my friend, or no?
Let's just go with that. So.
In my experience, I got one year for Christmas this incredibly lame castle. It was like a Heat-Man knockoff.
Oh.
I forget what it was called. I think
it was probably the Remco knockoff. I know what the one you are. It was so generic.
Yeah, it had like a skull on the front of it,
yeah.
And it came with a rubber, a plastic vinyl mat that had like a moat on it.
Yeah,
I can't remember what it's called. And I was like, okay, thanks, I was trying to be
really.
Polite.
I'll use my imagination, thanks.
I turned it into Destro's castle.
Oh, and there you go.
There you go. There you have it. So, so for me, that's how I use my imagination on that. But, I don't know.
Yeah. What else you got for me?
What? I like it. I like it.
The one question I always get every time I do an interview, what got you in this business?
That was on the list.
The thing is, I was a big collector into the later years of my high school career into, 20s. And I was collecting, and my buddy owned a comic book shop called British Paper Mill in Columbus.
Oh, I remember that place.
And he was
and
his brother is here. He owns Capital City Comics in Reynoldsburg. But he was like, "Hey, have you ever thought about doing a toy show?" And I was like, "No, I'm not," because there was a show at the Alliantron Temple.
Right, I do
in
remember,
Columbus.
I do remember those.
Then they stopped doing it. Then, 5 years later, I'm like, "Well, what can I do it?" because my uncle was a stage manager over at Veterans Memorial for 27 years.
Okay.
So he hooked me up with the right people. And
well, I was going to ask, what kind of qualifications do you need to have in order to run a show? I mean, in
patience. And, you know, it's like a good personality.
Right, sure, you know, sure. But there's no, like, type of insurance permits or anything along those lines?
Actually,
or?
I had to have $1 million policy.
Okay.
You know, just in case someone's, you know, like the Tuscan Raider takes out somebody, they're mean-tempered.
Hey,
watch that gaffy stick, buddy.
Why are you starting stuff, James? Come on, man. Don't start
trouble
here.
Oh, we got an X-Wing pilot there. He'll blast him.
He better be quick on the draw.
Not really.
Are you quick on the draw?
Look, double blaster. Double blaster.
One fails, you got the backup. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. So that's how you got into this business?
Yeah, because I was a collector and I went to my first toy show in Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Wow.
That was in 2001. And I was like, man, I love this. Because I was selling some of my personal collection and I'm like, I could do this for a living.
Yeah?
Then I was like, maybe I could do my own show.
And you could do better than this guy and better than that guy.
Yeah,
and tweak on it. Yeah,
well,
right.
Now there's a network of other promoters that I work with.
Oh, that's cool.
You know, like the Dayton Toy Show and some of the other local shows. And, you know, we make sure that we're not having shows on the same day. You know, we bounce ideas off each other. Like Dominic from the Pittsburgh Toy Show is a good friend of mine. And we try to avoid each other's time, so we're so we don't have half a dealer's going one way and half a dealer's,
right.
You know.
Yeah, that's excellent. That's a great way to think about it. In regards to that. So the British Paper Mill, Bob. I haven't thought about that place in forever.
Yeah, well,
that was a cool place.
Yeah,
I mean,
it was
out
at the
there,
Scarborough Mall.
Scarborough Mall, yeah. And then it moved for a while. What
it did?
Didn't it move somewhere down in German Village? Sure, no.
It went in the North End somewhere. I didn't really visit a lot. Then Tony Kalzowski took it over in Reynoldsburg. Wait a minute. Yeah, it went to Pickerington, then Reynoldsburg.
And yes. Yes.
Man, I grew up there.
Yeah, it was a cool store.
I loved walking
really
around
cool
and
store.
Seeing all the like the Star Wars vehicles.
Yeah.
That they were like, oh, this is not for sale. I was like, I want it.
What a way to be a tease, man.
Yeah, really.
Seriously.
Because they had a Tatooine skiff and an A-Wing, stuff I had never seen be able to hold. And, you know, they're like, oh, those are $200 a piece if you want them.
Yeah. I would always go for the comic books
and
to take a look, too, you know, because I'm a big comic book geek as well.
Yeah.
And it was always cool. And then, too, I would always combine it with a trip to the Dollar Theater that was right there at the Scarborough Mall, man.
Oh, yeah.
You know? I mean, you can't beat that. That was an afternoon. So have you ever had any celebrities here? Any toy celebrities? Or I presume that if they're names, you got to pay a little extra to bring them in.
We had the original Michael Myers. I forget his name off the bat. But he was in town shooting a movie. He called me. And we normally don't have celebrities because we like to keep it a classic toy show.
Right, sure.
And that's why it's only $5 to get in.
Sure, right. Understandable.
So, you know, you go to the big cons, it's $40, $50 to get
right,
in.
Right, exactly.
But this is a kid-friendly show. You know, any kids under 12 in for free, you know.
So yeah, right.
I try to keep it affordable.
Right, and that's the way you got to do
it. Yeah,
so
right now there's probably 300 people walking around the room, and
and it looks like everyone's having a blast.
Oh yeah,
so there's no frowny faces here.
Nope,
none at Fort Rapids Toy Show.
Oh yeah.
So with that, here in my particular case.
Oh yeah,
I have this, which I happen to get from my grandmother's and from my girlfriend's grandmother. It's a Christmas catalog from 1975. By the way, it's in pretty good shape, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like I always looked forward to the JCPenney catalog.
I did too.
Always looked forward.
The Sears catalog sucked.
Yeah.
Let's just be honest. It sucked, the Sears catalog.
You know, Lazarus Lazarus?
No.
Did they have one? I don't know.
I don't know if Lazarus did.
But we would always go over off of Bryce Road to that JCPenney, and they always had it was like a dream come true to see all the toys.
As a side note, the Tuscan Raider agreed with me. The Sears Christmas catalog did suck, right?
Oh.
See, right there. The
Did I say that right? No, all right.
Well, anyway, My girlfriend's grandmother gave it to me. The first thing I had to go to was the toys.
Yeah.
So, and I look, I had this, the Fisher-Price dump truck.
Wow.
Yeah. Sadly, it's 75, so no Star Wars.
So no
Wars stuff.
Star Wars.
No Star Wars.
But there's probably Hot Wheels.
There's plenty of Hot Wheels in here. In fact, here, we thumb through it real quick. You know, there's plenty of Erector sets, model cars,
yeah.
Train sets. There we go. Tyco
yeah.
Racing.
Yeah. The muscle cars were always my favorite.
Yeah. Tonka.
Oh, yeah.
You know, those are apparently somebody was going to get, I guess, some toys here because it was folded. I don't know. Oh, the funnel tunnel or whatever
yeah.
that's called.
A Donnie Marie doll.
I'm a little bit country.
I'm a little bit rock and roll.
Here was a couple of things that I said. Like, I had the garage, but
oh,
I got
yeah.
out of garage sale, so it didn't come with the cars and that. But I was like, yeah, I use the Hot Wheels.
I had the airport.
Oh, yeah,
I don't
really?
I don't even know if it's in there.
I don't know if it is.
Yeah.
Fisher-Price toys were really cool as a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's the jet.
Yeah,
I don't know if they had the air.
I actually had an airport, so.
I remember that. There's bagpipes here?
I don't know.
Did you invite Rowdy Roddy Piper? That would be sweet.
Yeah, a lot of screaming. I forget, what did he always scream? He had a saying.
Oh, now you put me on the spot. I'm gonna get so many angry tweets about this. Thanks, James. Because they're gonna be like, "Loser! How could you not remember Rowdy Roddy Piper's catchphrase?"
First time on the show, I had to bring it up.
Yeah, way to go. Anyways, so as I was thumbing through this is the lamest toy. 10 times more lame than GoBots.
What's that?
And I swear that if your parents got this for you, they're the worst parents ever. How would you like to get Walton action figures?
Hey, John Boy.
Yeah, like, I saw this, I was like, wait, they made action figures of the Waltons
yeah,
and the house.
But that house is probably worth $500-$600, just loose, and the Waltons on cards, they could probably go for $100-$150 a piece.
Great, because right now, by the way, John Boy was $3.44.
That's not, and look. With mole.
With mole. I know. Everybody.
Mole.
I was blown away by this because I was like, I remember the Waltons being incredibly lame.
Yeah.
And what the hell, like, would you do with Walton action figures?
My next door neighbors just shook my hand.
Okay.
I invite everybody.
Agree with me, right, sir? Walton action figures, lame. If you got these as a kid in 75, wouldn't you think that your parents hated you?
Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey, for one thing, I'm not a girl.
Oh.
I don't know. Are these gender?
I don't know.
These are gender. Let's see. Are they in the girls section?
Well, they are, kind of.
That makes it somewhat better.
We'll see in 75, around that time,
I was 2 years
old.
I was just born, actually,
oh, yeah.
So for me.
I was born in 73, so.
I'd want the action figures that were a little bit more boyish.
Yeah.
Well, good point there. Good point. I guess I didn't look that closely, but yeah, it just, in fact, I won't even lie. I sat through an episode of The Waltons the other day on the Hallmark Channel because I thought maybe I remember this wrong. No, it's a terrible show that nothing happens.
Yeah.
So I was like, again.
It's like Dukes of Hazzard. Everything happens. I wouldn't want to live in Hazzard County.
You know, funny you mentioned that.
Is what I would want.
Yeah. You know, as a kid, I loved
it. They did have like a fleet of General Lee Hot Wheels.
Really? Oh, they weren't Hot Wheels.
Not anymore.
They were Corgi, weren't they?
Yes. Yeah. Or Ertl.
Ertl.
Yeah, and there
yeah.
you go.
I was a kid. I didn't care.
I had the action figure set because they had a plastic General Lee that the top came open. You could put them in.
Oh, yeah. The plastic
one. Yeah, the plastic
yeah,
one with
Bo
and Luke.
Then they went to the cousins. They're like.
Funny. Side note, I was so excited in college when I think it was TNT or whatever brought back Dukes of Hazzard. And I'm like, oh, great. I realized it didn't hold up very well.
Oh, no.
Because I'm sitting there going, wait a minute. You have an unlimited budget to fix police cars, but yet you can't pave roads? So,
yep.
You know. All right, well, hey, we're getting up to 25 minutes. I said I didn't want to monopolize your time, James.
That's okay.
So we're going to start wrapping things up here real quick. Where can people check in?
Okay. Check in, like, online?
Online to find out about shows, you
okay.
know, see what's going on.
Our
or
main
not.
Website is ctspromotions.com.
All righty.
And we have a Facebook page, which we have a huge following on. So, and there's a Facebook tab on our website, so you can just click that. It'll take you right to our Facebook page.
Excellent, excellent. All right, well, I am going to throw this over to a break here real quick, and then I'll be back for my listeners to kind of wrap things up. James, honestly, thank you so very much. I mean, quite honestly, I know you were very busy,
mm-hmm.
and I said to on my last mini episode that, you know, things got kind of got crazy, but I appreciate the fact that you took some time out
no problem.
Today to sit down and talk with me about it. This guy's a world-class dude. So if you get a chance, come out to one of those toy shows. Again, check out ctspromotions.com for all the info. James, thanks for coming on, man.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
All right, and I'll be back real soon right after this break. John Orlando, the host of the PBD Cast. I want to take a few moments to tell you about Stitcher Radio. If you don't know, Stitcher Radio is where you can hear the PBD Cast and thousands of other podcasts that are on the network. Stitcher Radio is the greatest app that you could have on your Android or on your iPhone or on your tablet. If you don't have it, go to your app store and download it, or go to Stitcher.com where they'll tell you how to get Stitcher Radio. It is the greatest. It is the best. It's one app. That's all you need, folks. It will let you know when a new episode's up because it continuously updates. So if you want to know when is the next episode of the PBD Cast up, boom, it'll tell you. Trust me, I know. I have friends that have used the app on their particular Android or iPhone, and they love it. They love it. You can get customized recommendations for anything you're interested in, whether it's wrestling, news, entertainment, whatever. Definitely check out Stitcher.com or go to the App Store and pick up Stitcher Radio so you can stay in the know. All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this episode of the PBD Cast. John Orlando here, going to close out this installment. I hope that you enjoyed my chat with James Ford, the promoter from CTS Promotions, the man who put on the Fort Rapids Toy Show that took place this past weekend here in Columbus, Ohio. And, you know, I'm sure that there's a lot of people behind the scenes that helped to make that a reality, so I'm not trying to undersell them. I'm sure it's a team production. I mean, I know, like with any promoter, no matter what you're promoting, you need some help. You need support staff there to help you out. So the people at CTS Promotions, they did a great job. You know, and while I'm here and I got your ear for a moment, you know, again, I just want to reiterate, I want to repeat that this is my own personal podcast, and I love to highlight independent ideas, independent things going on around me to help those folks out, you know. Some people probably say to themselves, you know, so what? Who cares about CTS Promotions? Who cares about Big Fun Columbus? Who cares about Fat Guys at the Movies or CD1025? But those are all industries. They're all ideas. They're all passions that are very independent in nature. And that's why I try to have folks come on here that have new ideas, that have innovative thoughts, and talk about them and try to help them out a little bit. Maybe if two or three people learn about it, and maybe that helps those particular projects, those particular things. You know, or maybe, you know, hundreds of people decide to check that particular thing out, that particular idea out, that particular concept out, and it helps out whoever it is. I'm happy to be part of that. And so, you know, I don't get any monetary kickback from anybody. You know, I don't get anything other than just the pleasure of throwing it out there on the public airwaves, having people listen and go, hey, that sounds like a cool idea, or hey, that sounds like a cool store, or hey, that sounds like a cool radio station, or whatever. You know? Again, it's that independent spirit that I've always had within me, and I'm happy to bring it out here on the PVD Cast. So, but hey, let's talk real quick about a couple of things that happened off air, so to speak, at the Fort Rapids Toy Show, because after I wrapped up my conversation with James, I got a chance to kind of go around the show and see what was out there, what some of the vendors were selling. And of course, you know, you had your hot ticket items. You had, you know, He-Man and the Masters of the Universe toys. You had Star Wars toys. You had G.I. Joe. You had a lot of Hot Wheels. So you had a variety of things. I think the coolest toy that I saw was something I've never seen before. I didn't even know existed. In 1964, right after, I believe, Goldfinger, they put out a 007 spy kit for kids. And there was one there, brand spanking new. Never out of the container. All right, it was like a clear container. It was a small little briefcase-like item that was open, and it was in this clear container. And it came with a Walther PPK replica toy gun, like a code-breaking manual, maps, like a disguise kit and whatnot. It looked really, really flipping cool. I asked the vendors how much it was going for. Because it's brand spanking new, people, $1,000. So I think that was a pretty cool item. That was probably the coolest thing that I saw there. However, the most unusual thing I saw there had nothing to do with toys. Just to give a little backstory, my good friend DJ Steve OD, also a big toy freak, a big toy collector, he came to the show, and he got there right after I'd finished up recording the podcast. So he and I did the lap around the show, and we go down this particular aisle, and I'm in front of Steve. I'm about one table ahead of him, and I can see that there's a massive wrestling table, meaning that, you know, they had all kinds of wrestling figures there. And I could hear this voice, and I looked over, and I was like, oh my God. And I quickly turned and go, Steve, get to the end of this row for a minute. I got to tell you something. Just go, go, go. I saw the couple, the husband and wife tandem that we've talked about several times on this podcast. The folks that were in charge of PWC security were there at the toy show. That's right. That's right. So I dropped that knowledge on Steve. He chuckled. He was like, wait, this is the same creepy duo that took all the pictures? Yep. And made the action figure of Cage? Yep. Oh, man. And so he chuckled more, wanted to know if they were going to recognize me. We did pass. They didn't say a word to me. But I thought that was really hilarious that the crazy security couple from PWC was there at the toy show. But, hey, all in all, it was a great experience. It was awesome to be out there today and just, you know, be in the environment and talk to James, and it was fun. And again, folks, hell, man, $5. If you want to relive your childhood, go to a CTS Promotions toy show. You know, you heard him say in September is the big one down here at the fairgrounds here in Columbus, Ohio, but they have some other toy shows coming up. So check them out, ctspromotions.com, and get a chance. Hey, man, go check it out. All right, with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to start wrapping things up here. I have an Orlando Hates, if you will, as well as an Orlando Fave. Let's start with Orlando's Hates. I caught this the other day on the TV, and first of all, I just happened to be flipping through the channels real quick. I guess there was a big horse race this weekend. Is it the Preakness, I believe, is what it was? I don't know anything about horse racing, right? All I know is that I've heard that California Chrome can be the first horse in like 30, 40 years or whatever to have win the Triple Crown. Win the whole shebang, if you will. Be the Triple Crown champion. So apparently, California Chrome came up short. I guess injured or whatnot. Wasn't 100%. Ran the race. Finished like 4th or 5th or something. And what I actually caught was, I actually, to be completely honest, I researched this. But what I caught was this old man, the co-owner Steve Coburn, doing a kind of wrestling shoot promo about how the horse that won, won the coward's way, because it didn't run in the Kentucky Derby and the Belmont, and this is just BS, how his horse, man, ran both of them, and now he has to come in and race injured. I just found this humorous because don't you know the rules to your particular racing hobby or passion or profession? Like, don't you know, okay, to win the Triple Crown, you have to put your horse in all three of these races. You know, if you want that prestigious title, that's what you have to do. To me, it just sounded like he was just coming up with excuses why California Chrome didn't win. Like, you know, or maybe I thought maybe Steve Coburn is one of those type of owners that just has the horse and like, hey man, I own a horse. It runs in the Kentucky Derby. Big deal I am. What? You know, and maybe he doesn't know. But I mean, I think he would know the rules, right? Like, it would be the equivalent, I think, if you go to like Hollywood Casino and you bet $50 on blackjack and, you know, you tie with the house and the house wins. And then you go, wait, bullshit, man. No, those are the rules. The house wins. I mean, I just found it preposterous that you don't know that. I mean, you know, if any horse could win the Triple Crown, then it wouldn't be a big deal, man. It's hard to do. Like three-peating in the NBA championships, you know, it's hard to do. I don't know why this guy's crying in his cereal, you know. Coward. Anyways, well, that ends Orlando's Hates. Let's move into Orlando's Fave. Okay, this should be no surprise to anybody that listens to this podcast. Probably the biggest surprise about this fave is that it took me so long to see it. My fave is the film X-Men Days of Future Past. I gotta say, I read the X-Men quite a bit up until probably, I'd say, like 2000. Late 90s, very beginning of 2000. Then I kind of got out of X-Men just because of some of the different creative teams I wasn't digging and whatnot. But I've always enjoyed the X-Men movies. Well, let me back up there. I've enjoyed X-Men, X2, X3 was terrible, absolutely awful. And anyways, I thought X-Men First Class was pretty good. So I was really excited for this one. I thought the previews really made it out to be an epic must-see movie of the summer. And so last night I finally got an opportunity to see it. And it is all that it's cracked up to be. I really thought it was a pretty well-done movie. Glad to see Bryan Singer's back in charge of that franchise. I think he's a talented director. And so I'm glad to see that he got a chance to go back to the X-Men franchise. My only gripe would be the bonus scene at the end. I was really baffled by it. I'm not going to spoil it, but all the way through the end of the credits sit, people, if you haven't seen it yet, and there's an extra scene. Obviously, it's to set up the next movie, but it was really bizarre. Like, I had to look it up online, and many of my comic book geeks who are incredibly strong in regards to the X books, they were even baffled by it. But so that's my fave, is X-Men Days of Future Past. Great flick. Really enjoyed it. And with that, I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, where you can get in touch with me. Obviously, the Twitter handle, @PVDMVP. You can shoot me an email, johnorlando@pvdcast.com. Don't forget to check out pvdcast.com. Hey, folks, 447 last month. Let's keep going. Let's push that up some even more. All right? I love it. And again, I thank everybody who's ever visited my website, told somebody about it, you know, linked it somehow, whatever, man. I appreciate it a lot. But so with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to close. I hope that you enjoyed this episode. Let me know what you think. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I will chat at each and every one of you later. Thanks for listening, folks.